some few weeks ago, I drew your attention to this chapter and to the very different circumstances of the conversions, respectively, of the Philippian jailer and the woman whose name was Lydia. These are the two cases of conversion that are recorded in this chapter. And the point there was that circumstances very often are very different, but the experience itself is always the same. On that occasion, I focused attention on the conversion of the jailer. But this evening, I want to consider with you the case of Lydia. In Lydia's conversion, there are numerous points of interest that we may note and that may help us to check our own position. One interesting fact is that Lydia's conversion was brought about by a certain set of circumstances. Temporal circumstances, practical circumstances. Lydia belonged to Thyatira. Her business took her to Philippi, 300-400 miles away. She went there either from time to time or to spend certain periods of time in Philippi. But at any rate, when the time of Lydia's conversion was fully come, when, as Daniel Herbert would say, when the appointed time rolled on apace, God providentially placed Lydia in Philippi. And we may ask why. And we may, with the account before us, quickly answer the question by saying, well, because Paul was there. That is perfectly true. But then, ask a further question. How did Paul get to Philippi? Lydia got there on business. Paul did. Paul had been journeying with the gospel through Asia Minor, visiting various provinces and various towns, and evidently intending to cover pretty well all the country of Asia Minor, the country that today we call Turkey. And that included the province of Mysia. Mysia was the province on the borders of which the town or city of Thyatira was, Lydia's hometown. And here's Paul travelling with the gospel in a missionary, evangelistic way. And if Paul had but come to Thyatira, well, the fact is he wouldn't have found Lydia there. Because she wasn't there. She was in Philippi. And the remarkable thing is that Paul's purpose of evangelism, Paul's itinerary, was interrupted. Thyatira, Lydia's hometown, had to be bypassed. But Paul knew nothing whatever about that. Why? Well, we're given the reason, verse 6 in this 16th chapter, when they had gone throughout Phrygia, the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered them not, and they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, which was about the westernmost point in Asia Minor, in Turkey. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, Greece, northern Greece, beyond the water, saying to him, come over into Macedonia and help us. Philippi was in Macedonia, and Lydia was in Macedonia. Lydia was in Philippi, And so Paul, in God's sovereignty, had to make his way by sea and land to be in Philippi, to find a certain river bank on a certain day when Lydia would be there. God ruled, and God overruled everything to bring about the situation in which that needy woman and that Christian preacher would be at the same point, at the same hour, for the same purpose, namely Lydia's conversion. Providential circumstances are ordered of God. Scores of threads of circumstances are woven together at the time leading up to a conversion. You don't see them at the time. You don't recognize them at the time. Afterwards, you may. And I don't doubt that some of you who are Christians can look back on your own experience and tell some such comparable story. Why you went to this place, or why another person came here, or how circumstances were so unexpectedly changed, and it all had part and parcel in the work of God in your own conversion. At the time, you recognize not these things. Afterwards, you may. So that's one thing. Providential circumstances had a place in this woman's conversion, as they do in most conversions. A second point of interest in the case of Lydia is the work of the prevenient grace of God in her heart. Something was done in her heart prior to the day of conversion. She was a stranger to Christ, but she was not a stranger to the Word of God. That is to say, to the Old Testament Scriptures. She was either a Jewess by birth or a convert to Judaism, a proselyte from some other religion. She worshipped the God of the Jews without knowing anything about his Son. Anything that is in a personal sense. Apparently there was no Jewish synagogue in Philippi. And for that reason it would be easy for expatriate Jews to neglect their religious observances. No chapel, nowhere to go. No preacher, no minister, no rabbi. It would be so easy to neglect their religion. But there were at least some Jews in Philippi who didn't neglect their religion. Lydia was among them. And those few people used to gather by a river's bank from time to time, and there someone read something out of the Law and the Prophets. Apparently, each Sabbath day. Sooner or later, as these things were read, Lydia must have heard something about the messianic prophecies. Sooner or later, she must have heard the evangelical prophet Isaiah in his 53rd chapter. Soon she must have heard something about the coming Messiah. She worshipped God in sincerity. She believed in his word. She had respect for him and his religion. And according to the prophecies, she was looking for the coming Messiah. She hadn't found him. But I say her mind, her heart, her soul was prepared. Providence brought her to the particular place, and grace entered her heart by the Word of God to prepare the way of the Lord into her heart. That's another point of interest concerning the conversion of Lydia. The third point is this. We must notice that Lydia's conversion took place in the use of means. That is to say, in the use of the normal means of worship. Now, many people just say today, oh, well, you can be a Christian without going to church or chapel. You don't have to attend services or prayer meetings or anything of the kind. You can pass all that by. I'm simply drawing your attention to the fact that Lydia's conversion took place in the use of means. Be careful about people who say to you, you don't have to go to the house of God to be a Christian. The means here used was a prayer meeting, and obviously a small prayer meeting. A number of women. And on one particular occasion, without notice and without invitation, two men, at least, arrived at this women's prayer meeting. Paul and his friend Luke. Luke, who wrote the Acts of the Apostles, tells us pointedly in verse 13, on the Sabbath, we, including himself, we went out of the city by a riverside. Silas may well have been there as well. It could have been, there could have been others. But the interesting point is this. The first Christian conversion in the whole of Europe took place under a prayer meeting address. Philippi was in Macedonia. Macedonia was part of Greece. Greece was in Europe. And it came about through the use of means, a prayer meeting. If you want biblical authority for prayer meetings, here it is. If you want biblical authority for women's prayer meetings, here it is. Only a prayer meeting, people often say. And so they stay away. Prayer meetings are an appointed means of grace. And Lydia's is not the only conversion to have been brought about at a prayer meeting. Lydia's conversion took place in the use of means. If you are interested, if you're in the least bit concerned about becoming a Christian, don't despise the means of grace. That is, don't despise, don't avoid, don't stay away from the services of the house of God. Because this is when Christian things are set forth. But here's another thing concerning Lydia's conversion. It was a work of grace. Paul preached, but that didn't convert Lydia. Lydia prayed and Lydia listened, among others. That didn't convert her. But of her we read this, whose heart the Lord opened. Paul didn't do it, though he preached. Lydia didn't do it, though she prayed. To operate sovereignly on the human heart is the province of the Holy Spirit alone. Here in Philippi were all the means of grace, prayer, preaching. They were there in Philippi, they're there here in Bethesda. Just the same. But only the Lord can ask, can open the heart to Christ. You might have the angel Gabriel as a minister, but he couldn't do what the Lord has reserved to himself. Conversions don't depend on the minister. They may use the minister. God makes the heart, God masters the heart, and in conversion God opens the heart. Conversion, though it involves the convert, obviously, conversion is a work of grace. But then the last thing that I would that you would notice concerning Lydia's conversion is this. Lydia's conversion was distinctly to be seen in what followed. In what followed. The first thing is she was baptized. As soon as she believed, she put on the badge of her profession of faith. in the Lord Jesus Christ. And apparently so did other members of her household. When she was baptized and her household. By this action, Lydia would no longer be a secret disciple. It was known, and she wanted it known, that she was no longer simply a Jewess by race and religion, but that she was a Christian. Our Lord said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And my friends, it's a poor conversion that leaves a convert unwilling to obey his Lord's command. The Lord should open your heart to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I hope that, like Lydia, you will be ready to prove your belief in the way that he has told you to do so, by baptism. Lydia's conversion was proved by what followed. She was baptized, but that isn't all. After her conversion, Lydia proved her faith by her works. Verse 15, when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, that is, Paul and Luke and Silas and others, she besought us, saying, "If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. So into Lydia's house in Philippi went Paul and Luke and others, and they had fellowship together in the things of God. Lydia was a woman given to hospitality. Hospitality to the people of God. In all likelihood, the Philippian church was formed in her home. In all likelihood, it met there. It's the first place the Philippian jailer went after his conversion. Lydia's conversion showed itself in her life. A love for the people of God has always been a distinguishing mark of the true convert. If you want to test a profession, if you want to test a conversion, whether it's your own or anyone else's, ask what follows. Is there a ready and open confession of Christ in baptism, and is there a readiness to spend and be spent for Christ's sake and in Christ's service? Well, these, I submit, are the leading points of interest in Lydia's conversion. There were providential circumstances. There was a preparation of soul. There was the use of the means of grace. There was the actual work of grace. And then everything was ratified, confirmed, and demonstrated in what followed. Well, now, having looked at Lydia's conversion in this particular way, this general way, I want to show you now that in essence Lydia's conversion is a model of all conversions, all Christian conversions. The details may differ and do differ, as the jailers did, but the essence of it is common to all Christian conversions. The central expression in the whole account of Lydia's conversion is this, in verse 40, whose heart the Lord opened. Now, what does this mean? I submit that this is a summary of the work of the Holy Spirit in conversion. Whose heart the Lord opened. A man's heart is different when he is converted. Who makes it different? It is the Holy Spirit of God. Well, let us look at this for a moment to see how it works out in the case of Lydia, and indeed, I believe, in the case of any man who is converted to Christ. The first thing that happened when the Lord opened Lydia's heart was this. He took away all prejudice. He took away all prejudice. In Lydia's case, of course, it would be Jewish prejudice. She knew her Bible. She knew about the Messiah, and yet she knew also that her nation had hounded the Messiah to death. She knew that they had said, "His blood be on us and on our children." And then, you see, Paul, this preacher to whom Lydia was listening, this preacher at the prayer meeting, surely he was an anomaly from the standpoint of a Jew. A Jewish woman. After all, Paul was a contradiction. He had once been of the same religion as Lydia, a Jew, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Now he was a Christian. Now he was a Christian preacher. Surely Paul was a turncoat in the eyes of a Jewish woman like this. Surely he was a renegade. And then, if that isn't enough to build up prejudice in her mind against him, there's the fact that here in a Jewish women's prayer meeting, up stood a Christian apostle to preach, without invitation. I say those things put together are more than enough, naturally speaking, to prejudice this woman against the gospel at all. And yet the fact is that all that prejudice was wiped out from Lydia's mind. She gave Paul a fair hearing. She weighed what he had to say. And a demon of prejudice was dismissed. The devil is a past master in the use of prejudice, especially religious prejudice. He still does it. He does it in various ways. He does it by spreading silly tales and lies about gospel ministers so that people won't go and hear and receive what they say. He does it by setting up denominational prejudice and bias so that people will not receive the truth of God except it come from this one particular quarter. "I can get no good from him," say people. Why? Well, because he isn't quite in my little bracket. He isn't quite in my little narrow, ultra-perfect little slot. Prejudice. In Lydia's case, it was there in plenty, potentially. It was there in plenty, and yet it was all taken away. And my friend, if God opens your heart to Christ, he will take away your prejudice. For prejudice is a soul-warping thing. Prejudice was overcome, and prejudice against the gospel is overcome in every Christian conversion. Then another thing is this. The Lord awakened desires in Lydia's heart and mind. She felt a wish to understand what Paul was talking about. She felt a certain interest and a certain desire to know about this eternal salvation, about this pardon by the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. She had only heard that he was slain in Palestine. When the Lord opens the heart, the opened heart brings a certain hunger, a certain interest, a certain thirst after the things of God and the gospel. A kind of appetite. It wasn't there in Lydia's heart to begin with. It was new. And I don't doubt that Lydia was surprised at herself at some point when she found herself gradually getting alive to these things and becoming interested in them. Surprised at herself, astonished at herself, and her new interests and concerns. Whose heart
the Lord open. And when you discover that your heart is open to God and the gospel, then you discover that you have new interests and new desires and new concerns. The Lord opened the heart on the one hand to eject prejudice, on the other hand to inquire and pursue after the things the gospel writes. How far opened is your heart to these things? Then I ask you to notice that the Lord then gave a spirit of understanding. Lydia's understanding was opened. This is what is meant. The heart, the whole of a man's soul and inner personality open. It had to include the mind. It has to, because conversion is a conscious experience. Conversion is a conscious operation on the soul. An opened heart, by grace, gradually begins to see the truth of the gospel and gradually begins to assent to the assertions of the word of God about Jesus. In effect, Lydia says, yes, yes, and now I see it, now I grasp it. Didn't see it before. Read about things and prophecies and Messiah, all the rest in the Old Testament. Didn't see it, didn't. But now, she begins to see it. There's a gradual understanding. She begins to see that the death of Jesus was substitutionary. She begins to see that God gives grace for those for whom Jesus died. And my friend, that's what will happen to you when the Lord opens your heart. You'll have a clear view of the gospel. Now perhaps you haven't. But you'll have a clear view of the essentials of the gospel. You will wonder at it, you will embrace it, and you will know what you're doing. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened by the word of God and the Spirit of God. Whose heart, including the understanding, the Lord opens. But more than that, I submit that the Lord then stimulated Lydia's affections, because the heart is the seat of the affections as well as the understanding. Lydia felt within herself, as she came to know these things and came to gradually understand them, I submit that Lydia felt a growing union to Christ and a love for him. As Paul described Jesus crucified for sinners, rising from the dead for their justification, Lydia's heart, now opened, not only began to understand what she heard, but she began to respond. Not only with understanding, but with a measure of like, a measure of more than natural interest, with a degree of ardour, with a degree of fervour. She began perhaps by respecting this Jesus of Nazareth of whom Paul spoke. And then gradually respect increased to admiration as Paul described what he had done and why he had done it. And finally, she rose above admiration and she thought, I love that man. I love that God. Oh, that he were mine. Yes. The Lord stimulates the affections when he opens the heart. And my friend, you will recognize your own conversion by this. You will be moved to love him whom you cannot see, the Lord Jesus Christ. When the heart is open, the affections flow toward him. Whose heart? The Lord opens. But then I submit that the Lord gave Lydia faith when he opened her heart. She said later on, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us and they went in. They judged that she had faith. Lydia had faith. In other words, She not only understood what she heard, she not only loved what she heard, but she believed what she loved. She believed the record that Paul had preached, that God is Christ, that he is man, that he went to the cross to bear away our sins in his own body, that he gives eternal life to sinners who believe in him. And in her case, faith came through hearing, and hearing through the word of God. Here is a woman who, under the preaching of the word, put her soul at the foot of the cross, where the blood was shed, and she knew it was shed for her, and she had peace and joy in believing. She had peace by the blood of the cross. Well, I submit that in all these respects, conversion, Lydia's conversion, is very much the model of every Christian conversion. The providential circumstances may differ. Other circumstances may differ. But in every conversion, everything flows from the opening of the heart. If there's no opening of the heart to the Lord, there's no life, there's no experience of Christ. With a heart locked in self and pride and self-righteousness, you'll never come to conversion. Only when the Lord opens the heart do you lose a blinding prejudice. Only when the Lord opens the heart do you find desire after Christ. Only when the Lord opens the heart do those desires get to work on you, and you begin to understand the gospel, and then you begin to feel a love to Christ. And when you feel a love to Christ, you believe on him, you commit yourself to him, you trust him, you go with him, and rejoice in going with him. So we learn from a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Blessed be God for his converting work, for this dear soul in whom it was done, for every soul in whom it's been done. Oh, may we each know that it's been done in us.